Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
The U.S. Supreme Court issued an unbelievable order, not even allowing for oral argument, with regards to an Alabama case involving two women who wanted to adopt a child. We're going to be talking about it today with an expert, Rena Linda Valtzen. She is the Associate Dean for Academic Affairs and Professor of Law at Liberty University School of Law. You know, Rena, I was surprised that the Supreme Court came out with this opinion without any thorough briefing and without any oral argument on this issue of whether Alabama should recognize an out-of-state adoption by two women. And in fact, without any argument, they issued an opinion overruling the Alabama Supreme Court.
I was definitely shocked in one respect, given that there's some prior precedent for what Alabama had done. But in other respects, given that Scalia is no longer on the bench, I think this perhaps is a sign of what we're going to see in the coming months.
Yeah, I think so as well. Now, you have been an expert. You have written, we have argued cases. You have been involved in briefing. You've written a number of law review articles. What's your take on what the Supreme Court did from a legal perspective?
From a legal perspective, there is precedent, even dating back to the 1800s by the United States Supreme Court itself, for a state to refuse to recognize an order from another state. And in fact, Alabama had done this in the 1800s with an adoption order concerning inheritance rights. And the United States Supreme Court said it can't force Alabama to recognize an adoption from another jurisdiction for purposes of inheriting under an estate. So in this context, there is precedent for Alabama to look at what Georgia had done, say the court there didn't have jurisdiction, we don't have to follow it. If it were otherwise, we'd be in a situation where any court really could go rogue across the country, ignore what it's supposed to do and follow the law, and then mandate that the other 49 states follow what it did.
Now what we have here are two women in Georgia. They were together apparently from approximately 1995 until 2011, and then they had so-called assisted reproductive technology, or artificial insemination, if you will, and the person with the initials EL gave birth to a child in 2002 and to twins named, in this case, just by initials NL and HL, in 2004. So there are three children that are a part of this. And then the two raised them together jointly for a period of time. And then eventually what we have is the situation occurring with this so-called adoption where you have the non-biological mother wanting to adopt these children. And so the couple rented a house in Alpharetta, Georgia, and they filed an adoption petition in Fulton County, Georgia. And they ultimately entered into this adoption proceeding. And then they came to Alabama and at another time, and they ended the relationship actually in 2011 is what happened. And then one of them ended up in Alabama. And the question is whether Alabama was going to recognize, now that they have separated, an out-of-state adoption between two people of the same sex. Alabama does not recognize that, and it would be contrary to their law and to their policy. And so Alabama said in the Alabama Supreme Court, it would not recognize this out-of-state adoption between two women. Then you would think the case is over, but they went to the U.S. Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court did something very unusual. Tell us a little bit about why the way the Supreme Court disposed of this case is unusual. I mean, it didn't even have the full opportunity to argue the case.
Yeah, and that in particular, there have been several cases where individuals, including Liberty Counsel, we petitioned the United States Supreme Court to take cases similar to this, dealing with adoption orders and other cases arising out of same-sex relationships, and the court has declined to hear it, didn't issue any opinion, and let the lower court decision stand. Here you have really a case of first impression coming to the United States Supreme Court. It doesn't even allow oral argument on the case, and instead issues an opinion declaring that Alabama decision is reversed and it must must give full faith and credit to the Georgia opinion. So first of its kind in the country, precedential, and the United States Supreme Court says it's not even worthy of oral argument.
Yeah, and this is what's unusual, because you have, of all those cases, maybe around 8,000 or so, it varies from year to year, of cases that are coming up from either the state Supreme Courts or the federal courts of appeal, asking the U.S. Supreme Court to take the case, around 8,000, only about 1% of those, maybe about 80 or so, are actually taken. So you have, 9,000 plus cases that are just simply turned away and the lower court decision stands. What the Supreme Court typically does is, in cases of first impression or cases where they've never been decided before, and these continue to keep popping up, they'll allow the case to get full briefing. Because at the petition stage, all you're doing is asking for the court to take the case. You're not arguing on the merits of the case. So there's been no briefing on this, no thorough briefing, no amicus briefs by either side, pro and con, and then they've not given any oral argument. So at the petition stage, where most cases are actually denied, this court not only does not require full briefing, no oral argument is allowed, and they just issue a full-blown opinion by the court on the merits of the case. It is shocking that the court did this in this kind of a fashion. And, you know, there was another case that they did this to. Back in the 1980s, it was the Ten Commandments case. The Ten Commandments case, it was a case of first impression as well, came to the Supreme Court out of Kentucky. And the Supreme Court, with no briefing, no oral argument, did the same thing. This is a real injustice and a disservice to the rule of law.
Yeah, and you've actually got here, you know, generally something the court wants to hear is when there's a circuit split. And the circuit courts have been addressing this. So you do have circuit courts grappling with how do we deal with this adoption situation, giving full faith and credit. The Fifth Circuit, the Eleventh Circuit, there have been other lower court, federal courts that have looked at this. So this is something that merited full briefing, full discussion, including from the states, for them to chime in, and then for the United States Supreme Court to issue an opinion. And all that was cut short here.
You know, as of last year, of course, when they issued the same-sex marriage opinion, the 5-4 opinion, which I consider to be an illegitimate opinion. It wasn't based on the Constitution. And this is Chief Justice John Roberts' words. It wasn't based on the court's precedent. It was contrary to millennia of human history. Obviously, I think that from that particular lawless type of decision where they just invent things along the way, here, now in 2016, to begin the year, we have another one where they just invent things along the way. It seems like there is an agenda on the Supreme Court with regards to the whole same-sex activity, same-sex relations, same-sex marriage case. What's surprising, however, is that there was no dissents on this case. This was what's called a per curiam opinion. And so Justices Thomas and Alito didn't dissent on the case.
Yeah, and particularly given, you know, Obergefell and the strong dissents that were drawn by Thomas and Alito and even Roberts in that instance, you would think that there'd be a dissent drawn here. So, the path of the Supreme Court should frighten us. They've been redefining marriage, you know, essentially acting lawlessly, unjust results, and then to issue an opinion like this that really is going to sweep across the country and force states like Alabama possibly to have to undermine their adoption laws.
Well, I know you're teaching at Liberty University the history of law and the rule of law, and I know we even have some graduates from Liberty University that are clerking full-time at the Alabama Supreme Court. So for someone who dedicates her life to the rule of law and the text, this has to be obviously a disturbing opinion.
It's a disturbing opinion, a disturbing trend, and it just indicates why this election is so important and the next Supreme Court nominee is so important for the future of this country, the rule of law, and how we are governed in this country.
Well, the next person who fills Justice Scalia's seat is going to be critically important. We have been advocating that that should not be filled by President Barack Obama, that needs to be part of this whole election cycle debate of the people. We should wait until 2017 before the new president is seated, and whoever that new president is going to be very critical that they appoint and nominate the right person and that there's enough people in the Senate to confirm the right person. It is critical in terms of the direction of the Supreme Court because it's critical in terms of the direction of the country. For more information, you can go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org. That's lc.org. If you know of someone who is interested in law school, I was formerly the dean of Liberty University School of Law, and my good friend Rena Lindevaldsen is the academic dean there. I highly encourage you to check out Liberty University School of Law, training new champions for Christ in the legal arena, and they're all over the country. In fact, even around the world, you can go to their website at Liberty University. Go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org, lc.org. Remember Liberty Counsel in your prayers and your financial support. You can make an online credit card contribution right there at Liberty Counsel's website. You can also order Rena's book called Only One Mommy right there on the Liberty Counsel store, lc.org.
You have been listening to Faith and Freedom with Matt Staver of Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Working together, we can make a difference. Get informed and stay involved. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org. That's lc.org. And tune in next time right here for Faith and Freedom.